Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
So this week on the Fred Minnick Show, we talk about Peyton Manning's bourbon a little bit with Jay Cutler and also where Justin Fields is going. Jay, what are you thinking?
I know nothing because you just gave me too much bourbon.
That's what happens on this show and people open up. Vodka sucks.
Vodka sucks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the party, pal, because this is Shift and Steer, and the show's going to be great today. We got it packed full of good stuff. We're going to talk about the Long Beach Grand Prix that's all masked up, and we're going to talk about John Paul Jr., the racing IndyCar IMSA champ, and God, the drug-fueled 80s racing teams. I mean, that's like crazy stuff. How about racing a stock, completely stock Polaris UTV in one of the most grueling off-road races in South America? Would you guys do that?
Sure.
I mean, why not? I don't have to win, right? I could just go.
You had no support team and you could get lost in the desert.
But I have my in-reach, so I can be reached.
Yeah.
Tennessee's TRX and a bunch more. We got all kinds of stuff going on in this episode. So stay tuned because it's all brought to you today by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's, renter's insurance along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's GEICO.com. Hey, and that's not all, you guys. We got somebody else that's helping us out here. That's the guys over at Good Guys. Good Guys Rod and Custom Association is coming to Fort Worth, Texas for the 28th Summit Racing Lone Star Nationals. It all takes place at Texas Motor Speedway on September 24th through the 26th. There's going to be over 2,000 classic cars and trucks on display. And you know, it's Texas, so there's lots of trucks. And they're going to have an autocross, burnout competition, and even a vintage dragster exhibition. Huge swap meet at that event. And hundreds of cars for sale, too. So bring the whole family, because there's even live entertainment, a model and pedal car display, and a free kid zone. They're also going to be doing NASCAR stock car ride-alongs. That is where you get on the hood and you ride along. It's pretty cool. Oh, that's not it? Okay, I guess you get in the car. But tickets are on sale now.
Hold on to the ducktail.
Good-guys.com. Free admission for kids under six, so bring the whole neighborhood. You can use the promo code GGSHIFT, and we'll help you get $5 off spectator admission. So go to good-guys.com, use that GGSHIFT. Everybody down in Texas, do the GGSHIFT. Is that a dance? The
GGSHIFT? I hope somebody uses that coupon code so people realize.
I go on every week and buy one just so somebody does.
So Good Guys knows that people are listening to the show. Somebody should just go there and get the ticket. You don't even have to go to the event. Just use the coupon code.
Yeah, just buy
code.
A ticket. Just buy a ticket, please.
Just buy a ticket.
It's the 28th Summit Racing Lone Star Nationals. You guys ready for the show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a new sponsor I'm going to tell you about before we get into that. See, that's how it goes, guys. We do appreciate these sponsors because they help us help you. And over a century ago, Trico was the first company to make wiper blades. And that's a name I've known for years. I've been seeing that since I was a kid, going into filling stations, going into auto parts stores, the Trico brand. And they've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. protecting drivers in the harshest weather. I mean, even if it started raining cats and dogs someday. I mean,
what?
Can you imagine that? Cats and dogs, they'd be like flumping down on the windshield and they'd be going through there. But
my
grandmother
used to use that.
Cats and dogs. Used to use that? It's raining cats and dogs out today. Well, you know what? You wouldn't have to worry because Trico could just whisk them to the side gently.
There you go. Without harming them. Without harming them, Brad. Very important.
Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact. And that's important because Trico is the future of wipers since 1917. So if you're going to buy wiper blades, make sure they're Trico. And tell them Shift and Steer sent you.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanshore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, let's get this show on the road, pal.
I'm ready. Let's do it. I kind of want to hear about some of Aaron's wacky adventures now that he's back home and nothing's on fire. You made it back in one piece, but you know, you had to go slum it in dad's house for a little while.
Yeah.
I see how your dad played that house. Though. He said, "Hey, Aaron's going to come here to get away from the fire, so I'm going to schedule a whole bunch of repair work and then I'm going to shoot down south and Aaron will be here to watch over."
But hey, now you know, these are platinum first world problems, but dad's house, you know, has shitty Wi-Fi, no cell signal. It's way at the top of a mountain and, you know, it can be a little awkward staying there because, you know, even though it was my family home since 1976, it hasn't been for 30 years. So it's we have to kind of tiptoe around and our dog, you know, runs around the house and smells the other dog and then he leaves his mark and then we have to clean that up and, you know, vacuum the rug every 2 days because, you know, he's shedding, but, you know, first world problems, but I don't know. I kind of wouldn't have minded staying at the Harvest Inn for 2 weeks, but I have yet to hear back from my insurance company to see if our displacement policy caption kicks in and what the budget is after the $2,500 deductible. Thank you, insurance.
Yeah, right.
God, that's how they make money.
Oh, you got $2,700.
Yeah.
But you didn't have any major damage, right?
No. Thankfully not. Everywhere I go, I leave black marks from all the charcoal on the ground. It's kind of weird. You walk out to your car, you know, to get stuff and you come back and like, what are all these black stripes on the ground? It's like they weren't there a minute ago. You know, it's kind of bizarre. But I'll tell you, being displaced, you know, it's like at first you're like, okay, well, it is what it is, you know, and then it kind of sinks in. You're like, oh my God, I left this and I left that. And oh my God, what if, you know, and there's tons of anxiety and just, you know, just a bunch of mental garbage. And then it's all over and you come back and you're just like kind of wiped. It's one of those rabbit ducks. It's like, you just feel kind of a weird melancholy when you come home. It's like, I still feel displaced and I'm in my home. It's weird, but
I'm glad everything made it and kind of, you know, for the most part survived. I know you know, a lot of concern when you were leaving, not just for the house, but for the shop. Dude, and of course the neighbors and everybody there. I'm sure everybody was you know, on edge about the whole thing. So
absolutely. I got cars ditched at casinos in the valet and I've got stuff everywhere. I got to go collect it in the next couple
How
days.
Near was the, I mean, the actual fire? What was the nearest it actually got? 20 miles away?
So I have
5 miles away?
No, way less than a mile. According to the map, it looked like it was like 4 or 5 streets over, but I actually think it was within a quarter mile. Which considering that embers travel a mile and a quarter, mm-hmm. you know, around here, during winds, I can't believe that they saved Tahoe. I think everybody is in awe that Tahoe's still here, all of it. I mean, I don't think we lost any residences. I don't think we lost any outbuildings, at least a couple maybe out to Crystal Valley. To check information, there's a lot of information, and they're still mopping up, so to speak. But yeah, they did an amazing job, and we're all here, and we all have a home to go to. Oh, we didn't even have any smoke damage, nothing. But I did manage to blow up my Defender.
What happened? What happened?
How did you do that?
I was towing on the way home. You know, 50's closed, so we had to take an extra hour and a half trip out by, you know, off the 80. So we had to come up by, you know, on the other side of the mountain. And, man, those roads are just really long, slow grades. And my Defender was really down on power. It's got a TD5, and it should pull wonderfully. But I've been complaining lately that it's been down on power. I'm like, man, this thing should be pulling a lot harder than this. And it's been that way for quite a while. Well, that turned out to be a cracked head, not a head gasket, so to speak, but a cracked head. So cylinder number 4, it seems, has a flaw on some of the TD5s for a production year that they were produced. And they tend to crack and expose the jacket, and you lose compression, obviously, and there's, you know, unburnt fuel, and it smelled like fuel really bad. And then it eventually overheated, but thankfully it overheated. I had this crazy luck with catastrophic car issues. It overheated 5 miles before the 89 turnoff, which is mostly downhill. So I pulled it to the side. I used my water tank above because I was in my Overlander, and refilled the radiator via the expansion tank, and got back on the road and managed to make it. Until I had to leave it like 10 blocks away at my buddy's house, because I literally couldn't climb any more grades of anything. The turbo failed, the turbo bearing, you could hear it screaming. I couldn't get over 2200 RPM. I mean, it is dead. It overheated twice. It blew out twice on me, and, which is not good. So yeah. So hopefully the engine's not toast.
That sucks.
It really sucks because it's an expensive fix. It's, you know, TD5s, they didn't bring into the U.S. So it's going to be a little tricky to get it over. The head alone is between $3,000 and $4,000, plus the turbo shot and, you know, all the other stuff on top.
Wait a minute. LS swap time.
I was just going to say. So what I was getting at was that last night I happened to hear from Freiberger. He was checking in saying, how you doing? I assume you're home by now, blah, blah, blah. We were having a little conversation and he goes, hello, LS swap. I'm like, I know, but part of what makes it so special is that it's a TD5. You can't get them. But if I can be spending $6,000 or $7,000, I'm going to have to sell a motorcycle, $6,000 or $7,000 on this rebuild. Oh my God, I could totally do an LS. But I started researching it last night. Hello, anyone out there who wants to help us out? Yeah, it's really involved. I mean, you know, I could do a Haltech brain. I could do, you know, an LS of any kind. I need an adapter. I need a different, you know, differential, I guess. And I need electronic pedal. And there's like all these management things. And the task is so daunting.
Has somebody put together a swap kit? Yeah.
So I looked and I didn't dig too deep, Matt, but yes, there's lots of them out there and they're not too bad. I mean, they're, you know, a grand or so, but it's mostly an adapter plate and some stuff. Cause the transmission, I forget the model of transmission in that, but it's a really hardy transmission. And mine has like the.
Did I lose everybody?
To it that, huh?
Oh, we lost you for a second there. We're back.
Oh, sorry. I probably could put an LS in there with some significant power, which would be awesome because I could tow much better with it. But yeah, so it's an adapter. But the electronic part of it, the computer part of it is really intimidating. And that alone holds me back from so many projects that I just want to get into, including electrifying stuff, is that I am down to zero knowledge on electrical, and there's really nobody up here significant that I would trust to really dive into it. I know for Freiberger and Matt and Brad and you guys, you know, doing engine swaps and doing all this stuff is like no one's business. It's easy, but easy, I say in quotations, but But for me, it's I'm used to restyling and doing things of that nature, upgrading slightly, but just making things run better. So doing these types of modern conversions is really intimidating to me.
But they have gotten a lot easier with these kits, like Matt was saying, because I remember when I did that F-150 and we put the GT motor in it, we literally stripped every wire out of the truck and put a whole new management system in it. I didn't do that. I had a guy who had worked for, you know, GM and Ford and done their concept cars. And it was amazing how he did it. And we still had to have help from Ford. But nowadays, with so many LS swaps going on, there's management systems that they'll pretty much tailor make them for you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The issue is more like tying it into the truck. Can you get factory gauges to work? Can you get factory like temperature gauges and things like that to work? So if there is somebody who's done these swaps before and has some knowledge on what you would need, or if they assembled a swap kit, you know, in their catalog, it's not like one part number, but they say, here's the list of things, right? And there's a couple of adapter plates and whatever. But you're right, for something like this, you might want to outsource the project.
Yeah, exactly. And when you start looking at prices to outsource them, wow. Plus everybody's backed up. So my guy who works on my Defender, you know, I do some of the work, but I prefer to just leave it in the hands of an expert. He's doing like three LS swaps right now, and he charges new car prices, like all the guys, because more people want it. It's in high demand. Parts are getting a little harder to get. Labor costs are through the roof. But he says, don't be surprised if we can't touch it till next year. Which means SEMA's coming up just in time, because I'm going to visit lots of friends at SEMA with this project.
Well, listen, I am curious. What would it take if you brought it to somebody, a shop, and said, here's my truck, it's broken, give it back to me when it's got an LS in it? Is it 15 grand? Is it 20 grand?
15 to 20 grand. Yep. Easy. Yeah. Easy.
But that's about what I thought it would be anyway. You know, more than half of that is parts.
15 or 20 grand.
Yeah.
I'll take that head off and JB weld it, motherfucker. But speaking of gauge clusters, so.
And then next time you go up the incline, it'll burst again.
Yeah, exactly. I see that a lot of these guys put the modern gauge cluster in there. So there's wiring harness conversions and things to use the gauge cluster out of a 94 Tahoe or whatever. I don't love the look of that. It's very untraditional, but I don't know, when it comes to that Defender, and even the Mini Cooper, I'm hard to shake tradition. You know, it's I don't know. I never thought I'd be that guy.
Well, here's the other
question for you is, if you keep it with the original engine, you end up getting the head and getting a new turbo or rebuilding the turbo. During that process, what can be done to avoid the issue in the future and maybe make a little bit of power down the road? For example, there may be ways to drill or tap the head in certain areas to increase cooling around certain areas. Like, Brad, when we were fussing around with the Ford Lightnings back in the 99 to 2004 days, the first trucks had a hot spot at the back of the engine where the cylinder head is. And there was like a hack to get equal temperature across the cylinders, which the Ford fixed on the later versions. The 03, the 04 kind of had that fix to it. But I don't know if there's something like that can help improve it. Can you improve the cooling?
Yeah, it was actually a casting flaw. So I don't, I think they actually run really well otherwise.
Well,
people
always
don't like them because they're electronic.
There's always stuff. Cause like what Matt was just saying, I remember when I had my Grand National, and mine was a first year Grand National, and they were notorious for burning out the turbo bearing, and it was, and they would, they sent out a notice like from the factory that said, hey, you know, before you shut your car off, let it idle for 30 seconds, you know, to let it kind of cool down. And so there was a hack that came out, and it was Kenny Bell that did it. It was a little, you drilled and you t- tapped in a little fitting and had a little auxiliary line that came in that would give it more, you know,
oil. Oh, yeah, some oil and, or something. Yeah.
And that made all the difference because you were talking about how your bearing was making so much noise as it was burning out.
Oh.
I remember my Grand National when the bearing was going out, you'd come up to a stoplight and you'd let off the accelerator. And as it was winding down, it would sound exactly like a cop was behind you going, woo. And if I had people in the car, they'd be like, what's going on? Oh, we're getting pulled over. And I mean, it sounded exactly like it, man. You know?
Yeah. Mine's squealing like a loose belt. And I mean, it's like, you're going, what is that? And I open the hood. And I'm like, oh, it's the turbo. Oh,
it's going,
so obviously, bigger turbo. We could do a slightly bigger turbo. I don't want to go too big because, you know, spooling is an issue up here. But, you know, I have an ECU which is hacked already. So it has the chip in there so you can get into it and reprogram it. But I don't know anybody. And my Rover guy doesn't even know anybody in the U.S. that can do it. We're still waiting for word from England so we can get at least a 3-stage. So I have a switch so I could do, you know, economy, performance and towing and have 3 different maps to use. Other than that, I think the injectors are really adequate on those. Cooling's really adequate on those. I don't know that we can hot rod it up too much other than a tune and a turbo, which should do it alone. An intercooler, of course, and all that. But yeah.
I think the guaranteed hack is to weld that head up, get a new turbo, mount it all on a pallet, put it in the back, and then put an LS up front, and you'll be
okay. That's what I was thinking. I would just keep the original engine. Not like I'm going to sell the thing anyway. I've been offered just insane money for it, like house in New Mexico money. But, you know, it's I just love that thing, and I don't know that I could replace it very easily, at least not with what I'm looking for. So
it's hard to find one with a cracked head and a bad turbo. They're,
yeah. Well, it's an NAS, too. So to be honest, the TD5 wasn't original. It would have had a different motor. So I'm kind of like scratching my head going, well, the TD5's not original. It was just modern fitted. The thing was basically re-restored in England and in the late 90s and repainted. So the white is underneath it. It's green now with a TD5 and all that stuff. So I don't know how he got it in because you can't bring it.
Let's talk a little racing. Let's get out of overlanding and talk a little racing, man. We got the Long Beach Grand Prix coming up. It's September 24th through the 26th, and you guys, do you know where that's being held?
Not in Long Beach.
That was a trick question, and neither of you passed it. It's supposed to be Long Beach. What do you mean?
In Long Beach. I'm going to go down during race day, I think, the Sunday.
I'm still deciding whether I'm going to go. I have passes, but I was kind of bummed out this week when I found out that to get in, because of the 10,000 or above event that we have in California, you have to show proof of vaccination and wear a mask the entire time you're there.
If it's really hot, that is a major drag.
That's amazing. How do you drink your beer while you have a mask on?
Did you guys get one of these?
No, I did not.
So I'm showing the smart health card. So if you go to... I forget the website offhand, but if you go to, you know, California.gov, California.gov, you can actually put in your name and information and they look up your record, your vaccination record, and they'll give it to you on one of these little smart, you know, scan things. So all you got to do is open your phone and give them this and it brings you up and then you show them your identification that it's you. And there's your proof. So if you don't have one of these, go check out California.gov.
Yeah, and it tells if you're an insurrectionist and if they should follow you or not.
Yeah. Okay, if you're one of the people that thinks this might benefit you, then go check it out and get one.
How long ago did you do that, Aaron?
About, I think, 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Because I had heard they took that down, actually. That they had complaints.
Really?
Just from the crazy people, or excuse me, the alternative views of people.
Thinker.
Yeah. The same, they're usually the same people that are saying that you weren't actually getting a shot. they were actually drawing your DNA for the government database.
Got it. Okay. Well, there you go. So, well, I've got
I'm talking about you, Matt. You know what I'm talking about, man. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, I sent the government an invoice for my DNA. So I was like, I'm pretty sure you've got it now. Now, you got to pay for it. It's not free.
Well,
I'm going to go to Long Beach Grand Prix. I think I'm going to go down Sunday for race day. I think they do the like the vintage cars that day. Yep. I don't know if it's
cool.
Vintage Trans Am or something. And then what's always fun to see is when they bring those trophy trucks out as well and they run it on the street and they put the ramps in the middle of the street.
Robbie Gordon deal?
Yeah.
And that is cool.
I think they're doing some of that on Sunday. And it's kind of like rallycross, but with trucks and no dirt. And it's they kind of bang into each other and they have a good time.
Is it a figure eight course?
it's not quite, but usually like in the grandstand areas where they put the jump and where you'll just be sitting there talking to somebody and then you'll just see trucks start flying by you in the air and the crowd goes nuts. So it's fun. It's fun to see. Besides, last year in the hospitality suite, Acura had a lobster. So we had track lobster.
Oh, track lobster.
Track lobster.
Those were great. Pulled right out of the bay.
it's surrounded by water. They're probably just out there with a big net getting the track lobster fresh.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, Brad, to your point, I don't know if they're doing the concert series or any of that stuff.
Yes. Vince Neil is what I'm told is playing.
Oh, really?
That's right. Vince Neil is playing. Did you see him on Instagram? He was on Instagram. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to go on tour next year, trying to not be fat." He was doing like crunches and listen, God bless him. He's there and he's doing the crunches, but he looked like he was like on day two.
I love Vince. He's a good family friend. We've known him almost all my life, but I always joke. I say he looks like a full-size Vern Troyer.
Yes.
He was Vince is a great guy. I love seeing him there. We've seen him there a few times at the Grand Prix.
You and I ran into him walking through and said hi to him. And I've had tickets to this Motley Crue Def Leppard Poison, I think. Mm-hmm. They've kind of mixed it up like 2 years. And the tickets were on sale, prior to COVID, and then everything got canceled. And it's not going to happen until 22, I think. So,
We have tickets for LP canceled. For next year.
We have tickets for LP. The mm-hmm. Grand Prix is going to be a lot of fun because everybody missed it. It's one of those things. But,
if you have a sensitivity to race fuel, you're going to be wearing a face mask anyway. So
I have a feeling that masks will be through the gate, but when you get in, people might be shedding them like at other events. But we'll see what happens. There's still a lot.
Make sure you got
a
drink in your hand.
There's still a lot up in the air about hospitality and things like that. So,
same kind of thing going on with SEMA. Interviewed Chris Kirstein this week, the CEO of SEMA, and he basically said, there are other events in Vegas that are coming out early with some of their rules, and as much as he'd love to say what all the rules are going to be, he's basically saying the mask mandate is almost for sure going to be a thing, but as far as vaccinations or testing or any of that, he said it's still too early to tell. There's no mandate in place in Vegas for those things. So the show's going on. Wear a mask, and at this point, that's about all they're going to say. But it's still a month and a half away, so who knows how the rules are going to change? But I've spoke to many companies and talk to them about if they're going, if they're not going. Many are, several are not.
Yeah, some companies have pulled out.
That's right. SEMA said they're going to try to take some of the space that's vacant now, some of the big booths that aren't showing up, and fill that in with just creating some separation between the normal booths. So it's going to be a little different and a little odd, but you know, as Central Hall, where we're in quite often, going from that Ford booth right to like a Flowmaster, Edelbrock, you know, kind of thing, there might be more space in between things happening there. And then West Hall is going to fill out.
Yeah. Chris said that he told me they're going to remove the handrail and put a ballroom there so you can jump from the Ford booth into the ballroom. And it's a human, you know, full-size ballroom, you know. It's going to be fun. It's
that would be funny if they put a pool in there. Anyway, it should be. I'm going to be there. I'm still going. It's going to be
You're
fun.
Going looking to forward SEMA? To it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to catching up with people that we haven't seen in a while.
I know, really? Right?
You're going to go. You're going to go to SEMA.
And yeah, and then he talked about.
I am too. I was just wondering if you were.
I'm going too. Yeah.
You know, but if you guys want to catch that interview, he'll fill in the blanks as far as like what's happening with international travel and how you connect with international buyers and business needs to get done and blah blah blah. But anyway,
hey, you know, it'll be good. It, you know what? In some ways, I'll tell you my one biggest worry about SEMA this year is. Because you will have to show something. And I just think of the lines getting in because have you ever walked in the morning and had to wait in that security line and you get to wherever you're going? Like for us, it would be to the stage or whatever. And then you go, oh, I left that out in the car or out in the, and you go, ah, screw it. I'm not going to wait in that line again. I can imagine what the line's going to be like this year. So it's going to be one of those where once you're in, man, you just,
I think they're going to be addressing that as well. They're going to have manpower there. If you think about it. So for 2 years, just because of security reasons prior to COVID, after the shootings and stuff in Vegas, the first year they did security checks and it was really long lines. The second year they created more lines, and the way they sped it up, which was actually kind of smart, is they brought out the police dogs that sniff out weapons or drugs and weapons. Yeah. And as people were in line, they sped it up by having the dogs sniff everybody's bags, I guess, maybe more than bags.
Sacks? Wait, sniff their sacks or their bags?
Listen, let me tell you, I don't care how fast you are with the freaking metal detector and the whatever. The dogs are super fast.
Yeah.
Are they gonna have COVID sniffing dogs? Because they have
They have them.
I know they do.
They're fantastic. By the way, years ago I was talking to Bodie Stroud, Hot Rod Builder. We love Bodie. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about getting my daughter a new dog, and I promised her and blah, blah, blah. And he's got like a whole farm at his place anyway. And I said, you need to teach him to sniff out Bondo. That way, any car project that you have come in, regardless of the paint, you know, how many times you dig in there and when you blast the paint off, there's Bondo and you're so upset. You could call him Bondo, Bondo, the Bondo sniffing dog. And he was like, that's a great idea. Just have him in the shop sniffing out Bondo in cars behind the paint. You know, by the way, you could take Bondo to like every car auction and have him.
I was
going
to say,
like,
you came to a car auction. Go. Oh, Bondo's sitting down by that one. Nope. We're past.
Nope,
you
know?
That would be a good service. Hey, $1,000 and my dog will sniff out Bondo on any cars you're looking at.
That's right.
And then you tell the guy selling the car, $10,000, he won't come over and sniff your car.
Yeah. $10,000, I'll put some hot sauce in his nose. Well, speaking of all that. Oh, go ahead.
Huh? No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I attended the sports car championships at the new Hyundai Laguna Seca. It's been rebranded again. And that was really cool. I was there with Fittipaldi and Ross Gopp and the Mustang sampling team, number 5 of the LMP2 prototype Cadillac. And that was pretty cool. And only the retail store required masks. So everything else was open air. I know I talked to some of my buddies who worked the grounds, and they were saying attendance was down like 40%, which was kind of a bummer. But it seemed like a pretty good turnout to me. I mean, it was you know, there were lines at the vendors, and it seemed kind of normal. But yeah, it was really cool. It was nice to see, you know, it was nice to see the Lambos run, that the MX-5 challenge was running. And then, of course, the sports cars are just awesome, man. They, you know, they have R8s and Acura. Ran into Dave Merrick and ran into Ed Justice Jr. and amongst some other friends. So it was really, really, really fun. But I hadn't been to the races in a long time. So Finn and I took Sunday and left Misha and Pesto at the beach and running around. And Finn and I got sunburned at the races. I'm officially a redneck now. although I don't have the triceps or biceps.
So we're talking about racing and you know, Laguna Seca and Long Beach Grand Prix. And when you look back into racing history, you look at, there's been so many guys and, you know, you've got some of the most famous cars that, and the teams from the 80s. And when you start talking like, you know, Bruce Meyer's car, and the history there and the team and how they financed those teams, you know, and in the 80s, I mean, it doesn't matter. There's I think it's on Netflix right now, Cocaine Cowboys, about the offshore racing boats. And I've had discussions with some friends of mine over the years that, I mean, it was everywhere. It was, I mean, there were some drag racing teams that were in it. And there's so many of the IMSA cars and the, you know, all those, and the Porsche teams like we talked about. But one of those, John Paul Jr. and his dad, John Paul, you know, they had that 935 that just, you know, those guys, he raced Indy and he raced IMSA. And what's amazing when you look at his background is that John Paul Jr. I'm talking about, his dad sent him to racing school and they kicked him out. They said he's worthless. He's never going to be a racer. And so they said he just doesn't have the skill, doesn't have the natural ability. So his dad put him into an IMSA car and he got like second place in his first race ever. And, you know, that's the difference between being in school and actually on the track. And then at his second race and his third race, he got like a first and a second. I may be a little off there, but I know it was something like that. But his dad also got him into the finance end of things, let's say. And, you know, and
you mean he had a hot dog cart?
They were selling t-shirts, you know, t-shirts.
Hot dogs, pretzels.
It was what the t-shirts wrapped.
Rock
is the problem. It was one of those. You know, when you look him up on the internet and you see, I mean, his dad was something else, man. There were officials from IMSA and IndyCar that said high tense A-type personalities are pretty common. Temper tantrums in the pits, you know, things like that are pretty common in racing because there's lots of money, lots of things, lots at stake, sponsors and like that. But that, I guess John Paul Sr. was... They said he was downright scary. I mean, the dude was like, you know, and it turned out that he was downright scary because after he got convicted, I guess one of the witnesses that had turned on him wound up getting shot in the chest and the arm and the legs. And then there were some people that disappeared and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. You can look it up on the internet, but anyway.
All over rock salt. Really? Yeah. Rock salt? That caused all that?
but it all comes down to John Paul Jr. went on, had a fabulous racing career. And as I said, in both Indy and IMSA. But at one point, I believe it was 1991, he was doing some driving in a new car. And he said the telemetry that was showing up on the dash did not match what he was feeling in his legs. And so he talked to the crew. They checked it. They said, everything's good. And I guess this must have been like really notable to him. And it ended up that he had Huntington's disease. And so it throws off a lot of your, you know, you know, just the way your brain tells your body to do things. So he quit racing he did pass away back in December, and that's what this is all leading up to. And there's going to be a celebration of life in a couple of weeks that I'm going to for him. And there's a tribute, and they're going to be raising money for Huntington's disease for research and like that. But it's pretty interesting, though. I don't know how you guys feel, but there's kind of a, I don't know, maybe it's because I like Miami Vice and stuff like that, but a kind of a cool thing about the 80s and the race teams, how they, all these different types of race teams that were doing
and this like
cloak and dagger thing to finance, what was the name of Bruce Meyer's Porsche? What were the brothers, Matt?
The Whittington brothers.
Whittington brothers, yeah. You know, their whole story. I mean, it's like all of that stuff. Can you imagine the DEA guys and stuff and the FBI guys? They were probably like, hey, let's go to the the Grand Prix of Miami because, well, we got to check on these guys, you know. And then, let's go to the Vegas Grand Prix and let's go to the, let's go to Indy 500. I think
the Whittington brothers were big pot smugglers at the time, and now it's all legal. And,
yes. That's what John Paul was too, was pot.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think their deal was when they won qualifying, but you're right, they had these very dramatic stories. Like they would land in a helicopter and walk over to the race team and go, I want your car. I want your team. I want to race it. I'm going to go to Le Mans. And they're like, no, we don't want to do that. And at the time, he's like, well, whatever it would take. And it was like, you can't do it. $50,000. And just a briefcase would just come out, like, boom. We go, here's 50 grand. I'll be back at 8 a.m. with my car. Yeah.
And snap, five.
They had cut apart, I think the rocker panel. They'd cut into the rocker panel and put, like, a little nitrous bottle, somehow piped in like a Sneaky Pete or something. And
underneath the manifold or something.
Yeah. And, hid it in the motor, of course, but it hid the bottle someplace, but did that kind of stuff. But
then the car took off and launched over the grandstands and they're like, something's going on.
Interesting.
It was a crazy time though. I mean, when you watch it, anybody who's listening, if you haven't watched Cocaine Cowboys on Netflix, it's the same sort of thing. They would just show up and go, hey, let's buy that boat. And, it'd be like, it costs $1 million to race one race. They'd go, who cares? We'll spend $2 million, but they had no visible means of, they didn't have jobs. They didn't have, and they're winning these championships spending
with no real sponsorships on the cars too, which is the other thing. It's like,
it was just white.
Yeah, this car's pretty fast. There's no sponsorships. There's no real established anything. Like, what's going on over here? I think that caused more red flags than anything else. If interesting how prevalent things like that were at the time. How much we didn't know at the time, but how much now you're like, how much drugs and illegal stuff was a part of racing. Right. Also, boat racing, the offshore boat racing stuff.
Big time.
Because it's so hyper.
That was just an excuse.
The way to get rid of money. It was also for those guys a way to own those boats and have ones that didn't have all the numbers on them and stuff to bring stuff in, because a lot of their drivers worked for them during the week, bringing product in. But Matt, you're absolutely right, because grew up in the 80s, with Vision, we knew a lot of musicians, we went to a lot of parties and saw a lot of this going on, but hell, I was oblivious to the fact that there were guys that literally had trunk loads full of cash. I was like, oh wow, it was, we were too busy living lives,
Back in the day, Brad's like, God, this surfboard feels out of balance. It feels really heavy. And they're like, oh, that's the kilo of cocaine we cut into the middle of your surfboard.
Well, let's just say what when I was a teenager growing up backstage, there were certain rooms I couldn't go in and I had all access.
Yeah.
I was at a party up in Hollywood once and I walked into a bedroom, you know? So I was, hey, where's the restroom? Does that surprise you guys? And I walked into the wrong room and there was a pile like 12 inches tall. And these guys, and I got the look like, who the F are you? Get out of here. And I just went, whoops, sorry, wrong room. Boom, you know? Like, you know.
Brad's standing there with his big gulp. I just got to pee.
Exactly. Yeah. But I remember when we used to put on
Don't go on a road trip with Brad.
When we used to put on the skate escapes and stuff, the big, huge skateboard events where we would, you know, sell out a whole stadium. And, we would take all the receipts and put them in duffel bags and we'd have duffel bags of cash and put them like throw them in the back of the Mercedes to go home. And I used to think, if I'm driving home and I get pulled over, you know, what are they going to think? You know, I mean, it's like,
I got receipts, man. Bag of cash. I got receipts.
It's like, oh, we were putting on a skateboard event. They're going to go, oh yeah, sure, buddy. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Is offshore boat racing, is that like NASCAR was developed through moonshine, you know, runs.
Yeah.
So was off-road.
I don't know if it started.
Offshore boat racing derived from cocaine runs.
Yeah, I don't know if it started that way, but.
Yeah, it didn't start that way, but it sure did.
Are you sure? Developed.
I mean,
I couldn't say for sure. I couldn't say for sure, but.
Well, if you think of like just that show we were talking about, the Cocaine Cowboys, they at one point bought the manufacturer of the offshore power boats because that way they could build boats, not even have them registered, and they could send them off. And if they got caught, there's no registration. There's no number. There's not even a VIN on the boat.
Yeah.
And they said,
and it's not actually gel coat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
It's compressed. Yeah. Powder pressed. Yeah.
So anyways, it's crazy. It was crazy times. There's so many, I mean, you look at these guys' lives and they were a movie script. No wonder all these shows come out because they really were. And speaking of movie scripts, Matt, you own a house? Do you rent a house? Do you have a storage garage?
Sure, Brad. All
Do
of those things.
You know anyone that could insure those?
Yes, whatever you're getting at, we comply.
Hey, Matt, what I'm trying to say is it's time to do the Geico read. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do it. I'll do it. Do you guys, as you said, whether you own your home or rent your home, we know it can be a lot of work, but we know it's easy. It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing too, because you have so much to do around your home already. Clearly, Aaron does. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. Hey, you got a roll of money. You got a I got a box of dog toys over here that I was playing.
I noticed I have one of those ducks at home for my dog. I knew what you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's becoming a dog.
I actually have a dog I'm playing with.
Yeah. Before we run off, I just want to tell you guys real quick that you might have seen I've been driving the Hennessy TRX, the Mammoth 1000. Dude. So I already had the Hennessy, I already had the Ram TRX, which is awesome, right? Over the top, just great, 707 horsepower. And then the Hennessy version is 1,000 horsepower.
Oh, forgot you had that.
Now, they also dressed it up, right? They put the big bumpers on and the LEDs and the 37-inch tires and the best feature, the retractable running boards, so I could get in it. Without actually having to take an actual running start and dive into the floor area.
So what do you do? Grab onto the running board, pull yourself up, and then reach.
Well, it's retractable. It does it by itself. It pulls you up in there.
No, he has an ankylosaurus that comes out from under the truck, and he steps on that.
I'll tell you.
That's a Brad joke. Did you get it?
It's a Brad joke.
You're getting those jokes.
What they do is... obviously, you can modify these things several different ways. The existing supercharger, pulleys, tunes, things like that. They went with the larger Magnuson supercharger on this one. And I believe it's 1,012 horsepower. Of course, that's at the crank on the 93 octane in Texas. So I was driving it out here with a little bit less than that.
In Mexico.
With our 91 octane junk. And it was fantastic. I'll tell you, it actually, in its normal mode, which is auto, right? Auto is kind of like, it just, you're just driving around in auto all the time.
It's
not transmission,
right?
The engine calibration, because they got the sport mode, the track mode, the launch mode, and it's got the off-road modes and, you know, dirt and snow and all the different things. So auto is just kind of like what you drive around daily. And it sounded good and it was faster, but it didn't feel too fast. It didn't feel like it had hundreds of extra horsepower. And wow, that's kind of by design. It's meant to be as docile as it normally is. But you hit the sport button, you put it in sport mode, and man, does this thing start to really light up. Yeah, wow. It really comes on the power. They brought it here and they're like, yeah, you could drive it around like this, but hit the sport mode, which turns off traction control. They're like, just turn traction control back on and you're good to go. So on Instagram, I just put up just a really short, like 5 second video. I just got on the side of the road with the tripod and my iPhone and hit the launch control just so you can hear it rev up and see how it hits off the line. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's a big truck to be doing that. I mean, that's what's cool about it.
It's a big truck to do it. Of course, with the 37s, it's a little more weight, eats some gear and the big bumpers. You know, I'd kind of actually be interested in just the blower package that they offer on the stock truck. You know, because the stock truck already is more than capable off-road and whatnot. So, you know, dressing it up with the big stuff is cool, but not necessary. It depends on how much off-roading you want to do or just the look you want to do. But it's a badass package. It's not cheap by any means. The truck that I tested, loaded up, is about $150,000. You know, it's an installed package. It's dyno-tuned. It's got a few break-in miles, so they deliver it to you in working condition. I would say what you're really paying for is the warranty. When you get the installed package, it replaces the powertrain warranty with Hennessy's 2-year, 24,000 mile warranty. And that's kind of a big deal. And of course, it is an emissions legal package, which you're going to start to see more and more as EPA cracks down. Everything we're going to produce in the aftermarket needs to be emissions legal. If it affects emissions, it needs to be emissions legal. There's no more skirting those rules. There's too much going on, which is a topic for another show. But anyway, badass truck. If you guys get a chance to drive one, it's fantastic. Can't wait to see how some of the other companies like Ford responds with their Raptor R next year with the GT500 engine in it. And of course, the Hennessy's and the Roushes of the world get their hands on those things and say, yeah, they're like, oh, we're at 1,100 horsepower in a truck because why not?
Well, because you know, the factory, they're 800, so we got to up that.
Yeah.
You know, so. Speaking of Hennessy, I was really confused when I was at the sports car championships because I kept hearing John Hennessy. And I'm like, John's here? Different John Hennessy. I guess there's different John Hennessy.
Before we call it quits today, guys, I just wanted to mention something for a buddy of mine. A buddy of mine, Stevie D's comedian, and he had a book out called Trans Am Diaries. Well, he's following that up, and it comes out on the 21st. You can find it on Amazon. You can pre-order it right now. It's called Hollywood, A Chronicles of a Hollywood Hillbilly. And it's pretty funny. It's cool. If it's like his other book, you know, he's really funny and he's a car guy and a good buddy of mine. So I'm going to put it right there and you can pre-order a copy today. It's called Chronicles of a Hollywood Hillbilly. Stevie D, his Instagram is Stevie D Rocks. Go check him out. And he's a good buddy of mine. So, that's it. That's wrapping up another Shift and Steer. Matt, where can they find us?
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and you can follow me at Motorator. You'll see that Hennessy video. I got some photos and the launch video up there. And yeah, we'll kind of take it from there. Next week, driving the Ford F-150 Power Boost. This I'm excited about. This is the hybrid version. So,
oh, cool.
No range anxiety, but with the onboard battery.
Cool. And next week, I'll be driving a rental car.
how is that possible? You've got 35,000 cars. I know, you got all these cars
because none of them run.
No, they all run. They're just not practical.
Yeah, right.
Why put miles on it?
And Aaron, where can they find you? Aaron Hagar on Instagram?
Yeah, they can find me, Aaron Hagar, all over the place. It's mostly
you can usually find him broke down on the side of the road, but that's beside.
No, I pulled off into a dark corner where no one could see me.
Hey, everybody, and follow me on Instagram at Bradley_Fanshaw. Been throwing up a bunch of photos from my archives, and, you know, a lot of fun stuff. Go check it out. Hey, we'll see you next week.
Got pictures of pesto.
Yeah, pictures of pesto.
All on my Instagram.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure, Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.